This is The Promise of Tomorrow, where people in industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of The Promise of Tomorrow.
And as always, it's really great to be with you again as we explore the exciting realm of emerging technologies, nanotechnology, and science. Today we have a very interesting guest. Jim Hussey is CEO of Nano Inc., a very progressive nanotechnology company in Illinois specializing in dip pen nanolithography. Now, for you old hands who know exactly what I'm talking about, you should know that under the direction of Jim Hussey at Nano Inc. and his extremely talented group of people, there's some great advances going on with dip pen nanolithography. And for those of you who haven't the slightest idea what I'm talking about, I will say that it has to do with atomic microscopes actually moving matter around to create things. Some pretty fascinating stuff, so you're going to want to stay tuned. Then Jim returns in the second half hour and talks about the exciting advances that are going on with stem cell research. I'm sure you're going to want to stick around for that. All that, the latest at Tiny Tech Jobs, the voice of reason, listener comments, always popular. And today, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers. But first, these science news headlines.
This is Newsbeat, a capsulation of important developments by science news editor Marissa Vitoles.
Scientists at the University of Manchester have created a molecular device which could act as a building block for future generations of superfast computers. By combining tiny magnets with molecular machines that can shuttle between two locations without the use of external force, the researchers have created components that could one day be used to develop quantum computers. For all the gamers listening, massively multiplayer video games on demand are around the corner. A new startup called OnLive has developed a data compression technology and the accompanying online game service that allows game computation to be done in distant servers, reducing the load on local machines. Experts believe this will usher in a new era of online video game purchases. The futureofthings.com reports that a group of scientists working with the U.S. Department of Energy have developed a novel catalyst which could enable efficient production of ethanol-powered fuel cells. The scientists say the new catalyst succeeds in accomplishing two previously unreachable steps necessary to oxidize ethanol and produce clean energy in fuel cell reactions. Sick of always being late? If so, you may be interested in a new service called Recall. That's R-E-Q-A-L-L. The software works with your GPS-enabled iPhone or BlackBerry to determine whether you'll be late for a scheduled meeting based on your current GPS coordinates and alerts you according to your specifications. Marissa Vitoles reporting from Silicon Valley.
Newsbeat. Important news in the world of science is heard here each week. More information on these and other science news headlines are updated at futurescanner.net.
Wonder why your website isn't drawing business as it should? Need some knockout creative to get your customers to respond? Professionals know it isn't enough to have dynamite products and services. The message has to get through, and that's where most websites fail. Switch to ComCenterNet services and see the difference immediately. With a reputation built worldwide and establishing a personal relationship with each client. Also hosting and computer solutions. 972-221-9566. That's 972-221-9566.
The biggest idea in Dallas today is also the smallest. The Nanotechnology Institute at UTD makes machines on a microscopic level. Devices that measure just 200
hot air balloons across the horizon, rising up in the cool
frozen margarita, invented here in Dallas on the corner of
20,000 lilies, pansies, and little
devices, some just microns across, that show how big we think in Dallas.
A city built on big ideas that makes a big impression. Log on to visitdallas.com for details.
Well, today we're honored to have with us James Hussey. He's the CEO of Nano Inc., a very progressive nanotechnology company in Illinois. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thanks, Colonel, so much for having me.
Nano Inc. has been a leader in dip pen nanolithography, and while I know how important that is, for the sake of our listeners who may not, can you please explain exactly what DPN is?
Well, for a long time, Colonel, we've had the ability to make very small things or very small chips or computer chips or whatever And we use a process called e-beam lithography, where we will make a mask, we'll etch it into silicon or into metal, and then we will use a process called electroplating, where we'll electroplate the metal onto the chip. Well, that has meant that we have been limited in our materials that we can make small structures with, to really silicon and metals and things of that nature. So when dimming nanolithography was discovered about 8 or 10 years ago and really developed into a machine where it was practical about 4 or 5 years ago, we now can make nano-sized structures, things that are 20, you know, 30 nanometers up to thousands of nanometers in size, and are not limited by the materials we can use. We can make really with any material very, very small structures. And that's very important for areas like biology, for security. So we're no longer limited by silicon and metals like we have for the last 20 years.
Okay, and dip pen nano lithography, we're using words like lithography and pen and ink and dip and that sort of thing. They're really acronyms, aren't they, that better let us understand the process, such as dipping a pen and writing on a page. But here we're doing it at the atomic level. The pen is actually an atomic microscope, and the ink are molecules or atoms, and the page is some surface that scientists call substrates, which is often gold. Is that right?
Correct. Although we can make nano-sized structures on really anything. Glass, we use gold, we use silver, we use really any surface we want to. And you're right, it's an acronym. We don't really use ink like you have in your ballpoint pen. We use chemicals and atoms, and really we use a very, very fine tip that itself is only 10 nanometers wide. It's a probe where we can write, but the principles are the same. We take the chemical from a well, and then we can actually write these, obviously very, very carefully and with a very, very advanced system support into very interesting structures on the surfaces.
And the atomic microscope, of course, does more than just see. It moves the particles around to create things on the surface, but it allows the operator to see the atomic scale images on a monitor screen. Is that right?
Correct. And you would look at a computer screen. Of course, it's imaged through a computer. Although I will say we more recently, in the last few months, have introduced the optical system as well. That's a very, very advanced optical system that will let us look at these extremely small structures, things that are no bigger than a virus or a single protein. We can actually move around. We can put them in various structures and locations and actually see them.
I think the listeners could see the utility of this, because we can actually then start building things from the molecules and the atoms up and create substances and materials that we want to create.
Correct.
More insights into the exciting discoveries of the nanoscale when Jim Hussey returns right after this break. Okay, welcome back on The Promise of Tomorrow, the definitive program on nanotechnology and cutting-edge science. And before we get back again to today's guest, it's our first job segment with Pam Bailey of Tiny Tech Jobs. Hi, Pam, what have you got?
Hi, Colonel. It's great to be here again. Today, we have a job for Vico Instruments in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. It's a product marketing manager job, and the function is to direct the development and deployment of product go-to-market strategies for Vico's manual atomic force microscope product line. Duties will include product strategy definition, requirements analysis, and pricing. And this person will also support product management in the development of business plans and managing product life cycles and in product positioning in the marketplace. He or she will also oversee market research, monitor competitive activity, and identify customer needs. Vico's looking for someone with a BS in physics, electrical engineering, or mechanical engineering, with about 5 to 10 years experience in technical product marketing in the nanotech industry.
Okay, well, we've been talking about atomic force microscopes on this program today, and we're going to do some more of it. And we've talked about Vico before. Can you give us a little more information about Vico?
Vico is a great company, and what they do is they provide the tools that make, measure, and visualize today's world-changing technologies, of course, nanotechnology, but they also focus on data storage, semiconductors, LEDs, solar, wireless, and materials science.
Okay, and for more information on this and other Tiny Tech Jobs, it's always reliable at tinytechjobs.com. Thanks, Pam. We'll check in with you again in a little bit.
Okay.
Today, our guest is Jim Hussey, CEO of Nano Inc., a leader in dip pen nanolithography. We can actually then start building things from the molecules and the atoms up and create substances and materials that we want to create.
For example, you can actually write directly onto a cell. So if you want to actually communicate with a single cell by taking a chemistry or a chemical and actually writing on the side of a cell's about 8 microns, which is 8,000 nanometers, we can actually write and communicate with our probes directly with the cell and tell the cell what to do.
Okay, good. Now, I have to ask you, I want to cover a lot of the things that you're doing, but right now, I have to ask you, you became CEO at Nano Inc. a little over a year ago, and you came from the pharmaceutical industry. Now, how did that transition go, Jim, from pharmaceuticals to nanotechnology?
Well, understand, in the pharmaceutical industry, we're very chemistry-based or biology-based. Nanotechnology is interesting in that it is the junction of chemistry, biology, physics, spectroscopy, material science. We're entering a whole new frontier here that has not historically been available. So for me, it's been very exciting because a lot of the things that limit us today in the pharmaceutical or biotech industry for discovery purposes, for example, we've limited ourselves to chemistry and biology. Suddenly now, we can begin to have direct interaction with cells, direct interaction with biological systems. So physics now comes into play, and surface material science starts to come into play. And you have to remember that we're not floating bags of water, Colonel. We are full of surfaces in our body, and one of the ways our cells communicate with each other is through chemistry, but it's also through surfaces. Surfaces communicate information to cells. So it's been a very interesting transition. It's just a whole new world. I often describe it to people like I feel like I've discovered the transistor switch in biology, and it's 1948, and just trying to understand all the implications have been a bit mind-boggling.
Yeah, I've had other people mention similar experiences where they start to getting into nanotechnology. They say, you know, wow, you know, this is really sensational stuff. And, of course, I can see in pharmaceuticals that you might want to make a change. But how did it happen? Just all of a sudden one day you woke up and said, hey, look, Nano Inc. needs a CEO, and I'm the guy for the job. And you went and talked to the people, and that was it?
Well, they actually approached me back in, interestingly, the summer of 2007. And we talked about a board position to serve on their board of directors. And the investors of the company, the Lurie family, very, very nice people. And we got into a dialogue, and the next thing we knew, it wasn't even a board position, but it was running the company. And so one thing led to another, and there I was in January of 2008.
Well, that's sensational, and I'm so glad to have you on the program. Nano Inc. is destined to become a world leader in nanomanufacturing and dip pen nanolithography. A lot of us can appreciate that. Also nano encryption, which is a whole fascinating study on its own. But you have four business divisions, and I want to start with Nano Guardian. Can you explain to us how that works and what it's about?
Well, one of the major challenges, Colonel, right now in our country, and we've seen the problem with securing our drug supply chain. In Texas, for example, we have both illegal and legal drugs that are moving in and out of the borders, for example, of our country. And we don't have the ability, until more recently with nano encryption, to actually encrypt on the pills themselves, to put something on the vial or put something on the capsule.
More insights into the exciting discoveries of the nanoscale when Jim Hussey returns right after this break. Today, our guest is Jim Hussey, CEO of Nano Inc., a leader in dip pen nanolithography.
The ability with nano encryption to actually encrypt on the pills themselves, to put something on the vial or put something on the capsule, so that in the event a patient, a physician, a pharmacist, somebody in government or law enforcement who finds that product can get back and understand where can they trace it back. So that patients can have a lot of confidence that we are going to be able to tell the validity, the authenticity of that product. Now, one of the things to remember is the nice part about nanofabrication is we're not adding anything to the pills, which is a very interesting idea. So you don't have to add a chip or anything like that to the pill, because the size at which we write, the pill is as far as we're concerned, like a football field. It's huge. So when you're putting a pill, which might be a couple of centimeters or even 20 millimeters long or wide, to encrypt that with a lot of forensic information for us, well, that's very easy to do. So we got FDA approval about a year ago on the technology. There's actually a company that is rolling the technology out within the pharmaceutical industry, but being a security feature, we don't talk about the companies. But at the same time, it's going to be, I think, something that's available to help pharmaceutical companies, biotech companies, secure their supply chains. And we're looking at other applications, things like currency, credit cards, because remember, these are not visible to the naked eye. Things that exist at the nanoscale, you have to have very specialized expertise to find them, first of all, but then also to image them, and finally to understand what was written, because they're written in code.
Okay, so counterfeiting of money would be another area that you would be useful in this. I guess you must have brought the idea of the pharmaceuticals to Nano Inc. when you came to Nano Inc. This is a new course for Nano Inc., I guess.
This was something they had actually started prior to me, but I've been able to bring in some additional pharma people so that we can explain it to people within the pharmaceutical industry. Because, again, when you think of nanotechnology and you're in the pharmaceutical industry, Colonel, you think about nanoparticles. So the idea they're floating in a solution, that's been the historic understanding of nanoparticles. But nanofabrication, where you're actually building things on the side of a surface, whether it be a pill or a chip or whatever, that's relatively new. That's, even technology-wise, is only 4 or 5 years old. So this has been an education experience with the pharmaceutical and the biotech industry. And they're very quick learners. They're obviously very technically savvy, and they're very research-oriented.
Well, that's one of the things that really fascinated me about you when we had our phone call the other day before this interview, telling me about your nanomanufacturing. I thought, well, this is great, because this is the new ground that we're breaking and that sort of thing. Now, with the pharmaceuticals, you sell them the equipment and they do it at their location, or do they ship all these pills to you guys and you do it there?
No, we do it in their facilities. The reason, of course, is they need to maintain control and good manufacturing practice and all of that. So this is a machine that in and of itself has been FDA approved, but it's done within their own facilities.
Okay, and you supply the technicians to go and do it then?
Yeah, or in this case, we will normally train their people. It's a relatively simple thing to do. It's one of the nice things about nanofabrication is we've made it very simple on the front end, where it's really computer controlled, so that there's really anyone can learn to become a nanotechnologist. I know we'll talk about that perhaps later with the education effort we've got, but we need in this country, according to the Nanotech National Initiative, we need a couple million nanotechnologists in the next 6 or 7 years, and we're going to hopefully help train those people how to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to want to talk to you about that when we can. I had a conversation with Tom Levesque, and he said there were still the wraps were still on that a little bit. I don't know when they're going to be coming off, but in fact, we're having a conversation with Deb Newberry next week, and I understand that's one of the areas where you're going to be rolling some of these things out. So, okay, before we break at the half hour, however, we're going to check in again with Pam Bailey at Tiny Tech Jobs. What do you have this time, Pam?
Well, I have a position at SAIC in Frederick, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
SAIC is looking for a technical writer to work at its nanotechnology characterization lab. The technical writer will analyze data and generate reports for sponsors, draft manuscripts for scientific journals, prepare data for public dissemination, and also input data into integrated databases. This person will work closely with the lab's technical staff and key scientists, as well as members of scientific publications, graphics, and media departments.
Mm-hmm.
Possession of a bachelor's degree in a physical science field or equivalent experience is required. A master's or a PhD is preferred. Candidates have to have a minimum of 5 years of relevant experience, along with a working knowledge of biotechnical methods and a history of scientific publications. Some experience with analysis of data resulting from characterization of nanoparticles is desirable. The position is subject to obtaining a public trust clearance.
Oh, a public trust clearance. You're going to have to explain that one for us, darling. What is it?
A public trust clearance is a high risk, let's put it another way, high risk public trust is like a deeper background investigation for jobs that don't require any other kind of security clearance.
Okay, do.
Like a super background check.
A super background check. All right. Well, for more information on this and other Tiny Tech jobs, find out more at tinytechjobs.com. There's more cutting-edge science and, of course, the voice of reason. We're going to take a pretty big break now at the half hour, and then we'll be back with you after that, so stay tuned.